Today is our second week in a sermon series that we started last Sunday. Last Sunday, we read about the call story of Abraham and how God will call us to go in a direction we do not know. Our natural response is to question God during this call, and our doubt is actually still an example of faithfulness. It is a very human reaction to question whether God will fulfill his promises God has made to us in our call. Today we read the call story of Moses, who finds his home when he follows God's call. I'm reading from the book of Exodus, chapter 3, verses 1 to 12, and chapter 4, verses 10 to 17. And in the New Testament, I will be reading from the letter to the Hebrews from chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. Let us listen together to the words of our Lord. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And there the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. And then Moses said, I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up. When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. And then God said, Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. He said further, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. And then the Lord said, I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me. I have also seen how the Egyptians oppress them. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I shall go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain. But Moses said to the Lord, O my Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor even now that you have spoken to your servant. But I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. And then the Lord said to him, Who gives speech to mortals? Who makes them mute or deaf, seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you are to speak. But Moses said, Oh, my Lord, please send someone else. Then the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, What of your brother Aaron, the Levite? I know that he can speak fluently. Even now he is coming out to meet you, and when he sees you, his heart will be glad. You shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth and will teach you what you shall do. He indeed shall speak for you to the people. He shall serve as a mouth for you, and you shall serve as God for him. Take in your hand this staff with which you shall perform the signs. And from Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 to 6, Therefore, brothers and sisters, holy partners in a heavenly calling, consider that Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses also was faithful in all God's house. Yet Jesus is worthy of more glory than Moses, just as the builder of a house has more honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant, to testify to the things that would be spoken later. Christ, however, was faithful over God's house as a son, and we are his house if we hold firm the confidence and the pride that belongs to hope. The words of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Today I'm preaching this sermon from the backyard of the manse, which of course is home for Mackenzie, Jim, and me. The location of home is a strong theme in this week's scripture lesson in Exodus. But before we talk about Moses' call story, I want to say something about the idea of God calling us. I don't want to assume that everyone listening to this sermon knows what it means to be called by God. And since we are talking about our calls from God this month, then it makes sense that we should probably have an understanding of what it means to be called. Sometimes when people think about a call from God, they assume that it is only reserved for people who are in ordained ministry, like me, only for those who work in the church or are missionaries. But in reality, all God's people receive calls from God throughout their lives, regardless of age, gender, or race. And calls from God happen more than once, and the best way these calls can be described are those feelings we have when it feels like God is speaking to us through the people around us or how we feel at the time. Sometimes our call is felt in a moment we must make a decision, and other times our call comes when someone or something keeps coming to our mind, or those times where our paths cross with an experience that we simply can't ignore. Some calls from God feel like small experiences, and then there are those calls that feel like really big, life-changing experiences. But each call is unique to the individual. Just as Abraham's call was unique to him, Moses' call story is unique to Moses. When I think about the ways that I've been called by God, location is a significant experience and part of those call stories. Because, you see, most of my calls were felt in the places that I called home. I remember when I felt called to attend college, in that moment when you're that senior in high school and you have to decide where you want to go to college. I remember this call that helped me make my decision, along with the help of my parents, as to where I would go. And I made this call and responded to this call while living in my childhood home. I also remember living in my first apartment after college and staying up late one night while I tried to decide if I should take a very part-time position at a church as a youth director at a local Presbyterian church. I remember I said yes to God in that position in my new apartment. I also remember the evening when Jim asked me to marry him. We were in my home in Dubois, and I was cleaning up a dinner I had prepared for us. And in my home, I remember saying yes to Jim, that I would live my life with the love of my life for the rest of my life. And at my parents' home on New Year's Eve Day, in December of 2017, Jim and I sat with my parents and determined that God was calling us to become temporary guardians of Mackenzie and her younger sister and brother, another place that felt like home to us as we both felt a mutual calling to help these children and open our home to them. I like that God has called me into new experiences in places which have felt like home to me. They were places in which I felt comfortable and safe, but maybe not always ready to take on another God adventure. We don't think about the location of home being a strong image in Moses' call story, mainly because Moses never really experienced the feeling of being at home. From the moment of his birth, Moses was taken from his home and placed into the hands of the Egyptians. Pharaoh and his family raised Moses as their own, but Moses was never in his true home, the home of his Israelite brothers and sisters. And then one day he watched his Israelite family be treated as slaves and saw them endure hard labor in difficult situations. And on this day, he became angry when he watched one of his Hebrew brothers get beat by an Egyptian soldier, one of his own people. And in anger, Moses killed the Egyptian and hid him. Soon after, fearing for his life, Moses was forced to flee to Midian, another place that isn't his home, but offers him safety from Pharaoh's wrath. And it is in Midian that Moses meets a priest with seven daughters, who takes mercy on him and invites him into his household. Moses remains with them, marries one of the priest's daughters, who gives birth to his son. But even then, Moses says, "I have become a foreigner in a foreign land." When would Moses ever feel like he was home? Our passage from Exodus begins with God saying to Moses, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." We assume God is teaching Moses the correct way to present himself in the presence of God. But what if God gave this command as a way for Moses to feel comfortable in the presence of God? When I come home, one of the first things I do is take off my shoes. It helps me get comfortable. In foreign countries, it's a sign of hospitality and welcome to invite a guest to take off their shoes when entering your home. Sometimes slippers are provided and other times not. But there is a sense of welcome and rest when we remove our shoes from our feet and curl them up under us on the couch, or we walk barefooted in our backyard. Don't we all feel at home when we do this? So yes, Moses was on holy ground. But what if that wasn't God's first purpose? What if God was showing Moses that he was finally home in the presence of God Almighty? There is something significant about removing shoes, especially on holy ground. And so we read this part of this passage and we begin to think, is this about reverence or respect? Something like, "Moses, take off your shoes. For goodness sake, you're in the presence of the creator of the universe." This is how I've understood the passage for so long. I've assumed that it had something to do with making sure Moses understood how to behave in God's presence. And I think that is certainly a part of what is happening. But if you read the rest of Exodus 3, you'll notice that Moses doesn't sound or act like a reverential or awestruck man, even when he takes his shoes off. In the verses that follow, God lays out a plan for Moses. "Moses, I've seen my people and how miserable they are down in Egypt. I've heard their cry at the hands of their taskmasters. I know how much they are suffering, and I've decided that it's time for me to do something about it. I want to get them out of Egypt and bring them into a much better land, a land that I promised their ancestors. So here's the deal. I'm going to send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." Well, instead of bowing in awe and humility, as a shoeless man before a deity ought to do, and saying, "Yes, with your help I will," Moses says, "Hey, wait a minute. I'm not ready to sign on quite yet." And then he goes on to provide a list of reasons why he is not the right man for the job. Does this sound like a man who knows how to behave properly in God's presence? Moses sounds more like a regular guy, a real person, a little too much like me and maybe you too. So why did God tell Moses to take his shoes off? There has to be more to the story than attitude and etiquette. And it can't be about cleanliness. I mean, come on, Moses is in the desert after all. And tracking dirt from one area to another probably wouldn't make much difference. But let's imagine the second possibility for a moment that I just mentioned. Is it possible that God tells Moses to take his shoes off because he wants Moses to simply be himself, to remove all pretense, to be vulnerable and open to God, to what God has to say? Parker Palmer, in his book, Let Your Life Speak, suggests that being one's self isn't always easy or automatic. He goes on to say, we arrive in the world with birthright gifts, and then we spend the first half of our lives abandoning them or letting others persuade us that they aren't worthwhile. So often we read this text and hear God's command to Moses to take his shoes off as one of submission and respect. But maybe we can also hear God's voice to Moses and to each of us, much like this: Moses, take off your shoes. I need you. I don't need Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob at the moment. I don't need someone with an MBA or a Medal of Honor. Let's talk, you and me, honestly, about this plan I have for you. And so Moses, being truly himself, says, but God, are you really sure this is a good idea? Even as Moses stands barefoot before God, he doubts God. And this doubt is something he does share with Abraham. It's something we share with both of them every time we have doubted God's call in our own lives. Is this really a great idea, God? Moses' questions about his call do begin in the place that is, in every essence, his home. Even around a burning bush, God finds a way to show Moses that he is welcomed, he is safe, and he is in the one place where he is loved and accepted. All the sorts of descriptions that we too would use to describe home for ourselves. But that doesn't mean that Moses or any of us won't be called to travel an uncomfortable path. Even when Moses pointed out all of his weaknesses, God did not let him stay in the one place that felt like home. No, God continued to call Moses to move forward towards the promised land. But neither did God ignore Moses' concerns and fears. God listened, and then God provided Moses what Moses needed to conquer his fears of leadership. He offered a staff for Moses to use so that God's people would listen to him. And God provided the support of Aaron to help Moses when Moses felt incapable of speaking eloquently. It's only God who can hear our doubts and respond by fulfilling our needs. He doesn't wait for us to resolve our doubts, nor does God expect us to follow God's call ill-equipped. It's interesting when we think about the way in which Jesus also called his disciples. So many of those calls required men and women to leave their home or to leave what made them feel comfortable and safe. Was it so that they would rely upon God through God's Son, Jesus Christ? Just as home feels safe and comfortable, following God away from what feels like home doesn't always equate safe and comfortable. Most often we feel off balance, out of rhythm, when we agree to follow God and where God is calling us, whether it's into new jobs or relationships, into church work, or any number of other experiences. But the good news is that we always return home. Maybe not in our own timing or a home by location, but when we are near to God, we are truly at our spiritual home. Ironically, Moses never reaches the promised land, the home prepared for his Israelite brothers and sisters. Through a series of decisions, God keeps Moses from it. But just that home, not his eternal home. God would never do that to Moses, and he would never do that to us. Moses may never find his true home among humans, but he finds it with God at the foot of the mountain beside a burning bush. We might find our home among humans here on earth. In fact, I pray that we all do. But our true home, our eternal home, will only be when we listen to God's call and follow God wherever God may be leading us. And, well, as Dorothy always told us, there is no place like home. Alleluia. Amen.